This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abam, welcome everyone. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome to the Kollel Igra de Pirka Shir. Be'ezus Hashem. This week we have our regular Monday Shir, as we will next week as well. However, next week there will be a special Igra de Pirka Shir on Tuesday at 12 for all the various Igra de Pirka. Stay tuned to that. This Shir, as we've mentioned, is on Torah Anytime, and you can also catch it on the podcast. I want to remind everybody that we began last week a new venue called All Parsha. There's going to be a designated app from the OU for the Shiurim, but for now they're on Torah Anytime. There's going to be a Shir on the Balaturim, on the Ramban, and on the Ben La'ashri. Also, we began now the Parshios of Shemois. There are many interesting Shiurim in the Sefer on Pesach. And that is available on our website, rabbidg.com, and all the Hebrew Sfarim are on sale until January 15th. Okay, Parshas Vo'era, we have a very interesting subject today, and let me try to bring up the Mara Mekaymos. Here we go. And the Medrash Tanchuma on this week's Parsha, as well as it's further elaborated in the Tanna de Be'el Yahu, all bring out a very similar idea, and that is, what was the objective of the Makos? What was the rationale? What was the method, the procedure with which Ribbono Shel Olam brought the Makos on Klal Yisrael? And this is a well-known medrash. Someone at your Seder table is bound to say over this idea, and that is, Ribbono Shel Olam brought the Makos Mida Keneged Mida, that the Ribbono Shel Olam did not just bring like a circus to Mitzrayim. It used to be, many years ago, there's something called the circus, the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, that was in existence for about 150 years until we started making our own circus on Chol HaMoed, and then somehow after 150 years it suddenly went out of business. Can't explain the connection, but we tend to think that the Makos were some kind of carnival. It's a circus. Ribbono Shel Olam basically went to the Bronx Zoo. He unlocked all the doors and he unleashed the zoo on Mitzrayim. However, the Medrash teaches us that there was a much deeper kavana. There was an objective over here. The Ribbono Shel Olam's kavana in bringing the Makos was to punish the Mitzrim in a method called Mida Keneged Mida, what is known in Latin as quid pro quo. This is found in the Medrash Tanchuma on this week's Parsha and is elaborated further in Tana de Be'el Eliyahu. So, for example, Tana de Be'el Eliyahu says, Dam, why did God bring blood on the Mitzrim? They saw the Jewish people would go to the mikvah, and the Jewish women would purify themselves in the ritual bath. So ma'asu ha-Mitzriyim, what did the Mitzriyim do? Achzu alein, asamayim shal yirpu v'lo yavayu zel zev v'lo yifru v'yirbu. The Egyptians' kavana was to forbid tashmish hamita, and therefore they closed the mikvahs. They closed the ritual baths. So because they closed the waters on us, God says, we'll close the water on you. And Ribbono Shel Olam turned all their water into blood. It is certainly of note and interesting that the kavana of the Mitzriyim was to put an impediment in Pru Revu. In other words, they did not want the Jewish people to proliferate. By the way, I saw an interesting thing in the Ben La'ashri, that the Chida asks, why wouldn't the Mitzrim want us to proliferate? After all, we're their slaves. So the more Jews, the more slaves they had. It would only increase their slave labor. So the Ben La'ashri answers that the Mitzrim knew that they had us for a certain amount of time. And if they could get us to stay, then we would fall to the 50th level of Tumah and they could keep us forever. But they also knew that if we would proliferate, then we would have to stay shorter because we could accomplish the same thing in a short amount of time. So their kavana in stopping Pru Revu was to be able to hold on to us forever. Okay, the Tanuvel continues. frogs, Sephardea, why did God bring the frogs on them? They told the Jews, why don't you go capture some frogs for us, some turtles, some lizards, salamanders, all kinds of creepy crawling things for our amusement and entertainment. So because they wanted us to capture them for them, the Ribbono Shel Olam brought them these shratzim or ramasim on the Mitzrim. Kinim. Kinim are lice. Then they mabo aleim, because they made us sweep the roads and the streets and the houses and the fields, and they made a man sweep the woman's area and a woman sweep the man's area. Therefore, God said, you want us to clean up all the dust? You'll see what will happen to your dust. The Medrash continues, why Arav? Because they told the Jewish people, go out and bring us bears and lions and bring it to our stadiums, and we're going to watch the sport of the animals. Why did they do this? They wanted the Jews to go out to the far out deserts and to the far out areas, and they would refrain from Pru Revu. Again, this was the Kavana of the Mitzrim, to try to get us to refrain from proliferating. And then Dever, the Medrash says, why did God make a plague among the animals? They made us shepherd horses, donkeys, camels, cattle and sheep, so that the Jewish people should go out to the Midbar, and it would cause us to refrain from Pru Urevu. Shchin, why did God punish them with boils? Says the Medrash Mishnah, Shasamu es Yisrael shamoshim lachim lemcham. They made us heat up their baths and to cool up their pools. And what did they do? They bathed themselves and they went home besimcha. So God said, you're delighting in hot water, in cold water. So Hashem said, take the soot of the furnace and throw it heavenward, and it will turn into shchin. And what about Barad? They made the Jewish people be the carers of gardens and orchards and all kinds of trees, so that we shouldn't go indoors and be Yifra v'Yirbe. What about the Arbe? They made us plant wheat and barley and beans and all kinds of legumes, so we shouldn't go into the house and be part of our oven. Choshech, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, I have no favoritism. I'm not going to take out those Jews who are not worthy. So during Choshech, and all the Rishayim died. The bottom line is, the Medrash goes on to say, the principle with which God brought the Makos on the Mitzrim was the principle of Midah Keneged Midah. And that will be the subject of today's Shir, the subject of Midah Keneged Midah. Measure for measure, quid pro quo. Now, there are two Gemaras in Shas that discuss this procedure. Each Gemara uses a slightly different terminology, and the question is why the Gemara uses a little bit of a different terminology. We have a Mishnah and Saita. The Mishnah and Saita says on Ches Amud Beis, "B'midah she'adam moided ba moidedin lai." The measure that a person measures with, they measure to him. This is referring specifically to the Saita. She adorned herself for sin. So God defiles her. Hamakom Navla. She revealed herself for Avera, so Hashem uncovers her. She uncovered her thigh with sin, and then she sinned with her stomach. Therefore, she is first struck in on her thigh and then her stomach. Now, the Gemara continues. Even though Mida Batla, Bimida Loi Batal, which means, even though the Dalad Misos Bezdin are batal, meaning Afa Pisha Batla Sanhedrin Arba Misos Loi Batlu, even though there's no Sanhedrin, the concept of the four Misos Bezdin are not batal. So Gemara says, what do you mean? They are batal. We don't have the Bezdin anymore. The Gemara says, Din Arba Misos Loi Batlu. Someone who's Chayiv Skila, he'll fall off a roof. Or he'll be pounced by a wild animal. Someone who's chayiv sreifa will fall into a fire, will be bitten by a snake, one who's chayiv to be by the sword will be given to the malchus, or he'll be attacked by bandits. One who's chayiv chanika will drown. And so the Gemara says, Tanya haya Rabbi Oimer, minayin shebemida sha'adam moideid ba moideidin lai. How do you know in the measure that a person measures out, they measure out to him? Shenemar b'sasa'a b'shalacha terivena. B'sasa'a, with a precise measure, b'shalacha, when you send her away, terivena, you contend with her. Ein li elasa, I only know if a person measures out 6 kav of sin. So he gets 6 kav of punishment. How do I know if you measure out 3 kav of sin, you get 3 kav of punishment? No. So the pasuk continues, ki kol sa'in sa'in barash, for every measure and measure with noise. Meaning God measures out precisely. If you do a sin, you get a punishment. You do a half a sin, you get a half a punishment. You do a third of a sin, you get a third of a punishment. This is what the Gemara in Sota calls b'mida sha'adam moideid ba moideidin lai. But if you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daft Sadi Amar Aleph going on to Tzadi Amar Beis, the Gemara refers to this rule as a different name and a different terminology. The Gemara is talking about the Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Chelek. It says the following people have no share in the world to come. Someone who does not believe in Tchiyas HaMesim. So the Gemara asks, V'kol kach klat lama? Why so much? Why somebody who doesn't believe in Tchiyas HaMesim won't get Olam Haba? Says the Gemara, Tana hu kafar b'tchiyas HaMesim, l'fikach lo yeh lo yechelek b'tchiyas HaMesim. He denied the resurrection, therefore he will not have eternal life. Why? Shekol midoysav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mida keneged mida. All of the traits of God are measure for measure. And the Gemara brings a proof. D'amar Rav Shom Bar Nachmini Rav Yonason, minayin shekol midoysav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mida keneged mida. Shenemar v'yoymer Elisha. Elisha said, Shimu Dvar Hashem. Hear the word of God. This time tomorrow, the prices will drop. So there was a famine in the land, and the food was very expensive. And the prophet of God said, this time tomorrow, food will be very cheap. And the pasuk says, the officer was standing there. He said, yeah, what's God going to do? He's going to make windows in the heavens? So the Navi said, you'll see it, but you won't eat from it. And the officer died. Why? Because he didn't believe in the miracle of God, so he will not be the beneficiary to be able to enjoy the miracle of God. Why? Shekol midoysav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mida keneged mida. So we have two Gemaras. We have a Gemara in Saita, b'mida sha'ada moideid ba moideidin lai, in the measure that the way that a person measures out, they measure out to him. And there's something called Shekol midoysav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mida keneged mida. Why does the Gemara in one place use a lashon of b'mida sha'ada moideid ba moideidin lai, and then elsewhere the Gemara uses a lashon of mida keneged mida? So interestingly, Rabbi Kiva Eger, Kedarka b'kaidash, on the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says mida keneged mida, Rabbi Kiveger says, look in Saita, Chesamid Beis. And in the Gemara in Saita, Chesamid Beis is the Gemara about B'mida Sha'ada Moideid Ba, Moideid In Lai. And if you go to Saita Chesamid Beis, where it's the Gemara of B'mida Sha'ada Moideid Ba, Moideid In Lai, the Gemara refers you to Sanhedrin, Tzadi Amar Aleph. So if you go to Saita, and Rabbi Kiva Eger says, B'mida sha'ada moideid, ayin Sanhedrin daf Tzadi Amar Aleph. Now the question is, what's Rabbi Kiva Eger getting at? What's he bothered by? Is he bothered by, why does the Gemara use a different language? Or a different terminology? And what would the answer be? And are these in fact different principles? It just occurred to me that maybe you'll say these are two different principles. Maybe the principle in Masechta Soita is if a person does something improper, then in this world, others will do that same thing back to you. As opposed to the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Sadi Yomid Aleph, Ta'atzayim Beis, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mida is Mida Keneged Mida, that God pays back measure for measure. But it would be hard to say that because the Gemara in Soita, the Mishnah says explicitly, the woman did a sin and therefore HaMokoyim Goyla, Hashem is Menavel her. And the Raya the Gemara brought is from Besasa'a, with a precise measure, Bishalcha Trivena. When you send her away, you will contend with her. So, what exactly is Rabbi Kivager bothered by? Are these two different concepts? I found the Rashi in Masechta Nedarim. Rashi says, Mida Kenegen Mida, measure for measure. So Rashi takes the concept of the Gemara in Sanhedrin and he explains it with the concept of the Gemara in Soita. On the words, Mida Keneged Mida, Rashi applies the concept of Soita, B'mida Sh'ada Moideid, B'moideid in Lai. The Marsha seems to sort of uncover really what's probably bothering Rabbi Kivager. And that is the Gemara in Soita looks for a source. How do you know? B'mida sh'adam mo'ideid ba mo'ideid in lai, from the Pasuk, b'sasa'a b'shalcha terivena. And then the Gemara in Sanhedrin wants to know, how do I know she'kol midoisav she'kolish baruch hu mida k'neged mida? And the Gemara brings the raya from Elisha, who said that there's going to be a lot of food and the food's going to be cheap, and the officer didn't believe it, and he was trampled. Why does the Gemara have to go to that story? What's wrong with the Pasuk? B'sasa'a b'shalcha terivena. The Marsha says, Nira, d'loy sagile la'asuye hacha, here it was not enough to bring hadatani parak hamakane. Rabbi Oimer, minayin shemidah sh'adam moidim moidim lo shenamar b'sasa b'shalcha. Meaning, Rabbi Marsha is bothered by Akasha. Why doesn't the Gemara bring, as a proof to the concept of midah, of midah k'neged midah, the pasuk b'sasa'a b'shalcha terivena? So Marsha says like this. Over there you could say, when a person does an action, so his evil reaches the madrega of an evil deed, so he gets punished midah k'neged midah. But in the Gemara in Soita, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, excuse me, where the officer did not do any deed, he was just koifer b'machshava, he just had improper belief, he just was a heretic in his thoughts, so maybe you wouldn't say God will deal with that person, mida k'neged mida. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin is even further, not only if a person does a wrongful deed, will he be punished, mida k'neged mida, but even beyond that, even if a person has improper thought, the Ribbono Shel Olam will punish mida k'neged mida. Now this divine operation, that God deals with a person and punishes measure for measure, was literally what impressed Yisrael more than anything else and what inspired him to convert. The Pasuk says, Ata yadati, now I know, ki gadol Hashem mikol ha'alokim, that God is greater than all other deities, kivadavar, because in the matter, asher zadu, that they planned, alehem occurred to them. Rashi explains, kitargumai, they tried to kill the Jews with water, kalhaben hayiloid hayo'ir tashichu, and they were punished with water, they were drowned in the Yamsuf. And of all the signs and marks and ways that God's power was manifest and clear to Yisrael, Yisrael felt the greatest demonstration of Hashem's superiority was the fact that the midah, that Hashem deals midah keneged midah. Now, Marv Raboisai, there's an amazing medrash over here. The medrash is found in Bereishis Rabbah, Perek Tes, Parsha Tes, Oisir Aleph. But let us begin first with the following question. And that is in Parshas Shemais. Vayomer Moshe el Holeikim. Moshe says to God, Hine anochi ba'al b'nei Yisrael. I'm going to come to the Jewish people. And I'm going to say to them, Elokei avoseichem shalchani aleichem. Your forefathers sent me. V'amru li ma'ashamai. And they're going to say, what's your name? Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu is worried. What should I do? The Jewish people are going to ask me. You know, what's your name, God? What's God's name? Ma'oymer aleim. What am I supposed to say to them? Vayoymer aleikim el Moshe. God said to Moses, my name is. Vayoymer aleikim el Moshe. Yeah, asher ayah. Vayoymer koisaymer levnei Yisrael. By the way, it's an amazing thing. Shemais, Parsha Shemais, is really the book of names. First you have the names of the Jewish people, the names of the Shvatim. You have the names of Moshe. Moshe was named. God was named. Moshe says, what's your name, God? The whole Parsha Shemais is the Parsha of names. Now, what does God mean? My name is Ekya Asher Ekya. What is the meaning of that? What is the significance of that? Reb Shimon Schwab has a beautiful pshat in that. Ekya Asher Ekya. We bring it in the Hakdama of the Elokad Meir Aneni from the Me'en Beis HaShoeva. But we're going to explore today the incredible pshat of Reb Yerucham Levavitz. What does Rivan Shal mean? Ekya Asher Ekya. There is a astounding comment on the Medrash. The Medrash says, number 12, Amar Rab Simon b'shem Rab Shun bar Abba, kol ha-midois batlu. All the midois with which God created the world are gone. They're done. Rashi explains, Tisha v'arba midois shemen nevra olam. The 49 measures with which God created the world, they're gone. There's only one midah with which God created the world that still exists. Midah keneged midah loy batla. Measure for measure is not gone. In other words, every divine operation has ceased. God no longer utilizes. It's out of print. It's no longer in use. But midah keneged midah is still operational. The one method with which God still runs the world is Mida Keneged Mida, and Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz wonders why of all the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mishum Umibnei Ma, Mishum Soira Midos Ma, Ma Omku Advar Ma Hagdarosam, what is the depth, what is the significance, what is the meaning of this Mida, that this is the one operation with which God still controls the world. So actually it's very interesting. I have this sefer at home called Mida Keneged Mida, based which is written by Rav Aaron Yehoshua Passen. And I realize, and it's a huge sefer, it's like 500 pages or so of hundreds and hundreds of examples of Mida Keneged Mida. And then I look more carefully and it was volume 3. It was the third volume of Mida Keneged Mida. And actually, when I once gave this shiur, apparently, there are people in Israel who they know. Heim yodim maze Torah anytime.com. Veheim shamu es hashir. Veheim higid l'Rav Aaron Passen. Shehu bit Torah anytime.com. Vehu gam kein shama es hashir. Veachakachum mekasherimi ubal yeshiva chavetz chayim upagashti oto beyeshiva. And he gave me a number of other svarim called Mida Keneged Mida, including the Haggadah Shel Pesach Mida Keneged Mida. Okay. So, you see, I promoted his sefer, and you see, it comes back to you. But anyway, there's another sefer called Mida Keneged Mida from Rabbi Michal Peretz, and he gives two very interesting examples of Mida Keneged Mida. And I say them with some degree of hesitation because they're conjecture and they're not found in Chazal, but they are pretty interesting and intriguing. And the first one is, why was Moshe Rabbeinu selected to be the redeemer of the Jewish people. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu chosen to be the goyel of Klal Yisrael? Why was he zoicha to that? So, Rabbi Michal Peretz says as follows. You know, if you think about what Moshe Rabbeinu did, it would seem to have been a very great lack of Hakara Satayv. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu was a little baby, and he was thrown into the Nile. And the Nile is not a safe place for babies. I mean, if you're a crocodile and you see a little baby floating down the Nile, you know, it's your lucky day. I mean, that's your meal for the day, and especially a little baby, very tender, that's a good meal for a crocodile. If you're a snake and you're slithering in the Nile and you see a little baby floating, a boa constrictor could eat that for dessert. And what happens? The daughter of Paroi comes along and she rescues baby Moshe and she brings him back to the palace. And who paid for Moshe's formula? Paroi. And who paid for Moshe's oatmeal? Paroi. And who paid for Moshe's tuition? Paroi. And who paid for Moshe's room and board? Paroi. And in fact, Ibn Ezra asks, why was Hashkacha that Moshe should grow up in the house of Paroi? Because if he would have grown up among the rest of the Jewish people, Ibn Ezra says, the Jewish people had a slave mentality, they had low morale, they never would have had the bearing to raise a leader of a nation, to raise a king. So Moshe Rabbeinu was groomed by Paro. He grew up in Paro's palace, so Paro should teach him in the formalities of leadership and sovereignty. So for Moshe Rabbeinu owes everything to Paro. Paro saved his life, Paro raised him, Paro rescued him, and now Moshe Rabbeinu turns on Paro, and he brings plagues on his stepfather, and he destroys the whole country. What kind of an ingrate was that? But what could you do? Moshe Rabbeinu had no choice. Hashem commanded him to. But why did Hashem command Moshe Rabbeinu to do that? You know why? Because there's once upon a time there was a man by the name of Paroi, and he couldn't sleep at night because he was having nightmares. And God was trying to tell him that his country is going to be destroyed by famine. And nobody could interpret his dreams. So he heard from the Sarah Mashkin that there's this guy in jail who can interpret dreams. So Paro brings him out of jail. And Yosef says, all the interpretations that your advisors are telling you, it's all a bunch of nonsense. It's all rubbish, Yosef says. And this is what you need to do. You need to store up grain for the years of famine. I'll take care of your finances. I'll do the dirty work. I'll do the hard work. You just sit on your throne, look good. You're going to take pictures. You could tweet out whatever you want. They did not kick Paro off the official Egyptian account. And you do your thing. You look good and I'll do all the work. So basically, Yosef saved Paro's life. And what happened? Ah, Yosef! Paro forgets all about everything Yosef does. He forgets about the fact that Yosef saved his life and saves his country. So God says, really, Paro, you're such an ingrate to the man who is responsible for your life and the success of your country? Well, I will do that to you. You're going to raise a boy, you're going to bring him to prominence, and he's going to forget everything about you. He's going to destroy your country. So says the Sefer Mida Keneged Mida, what Paro did to Yosef, Moshe did to Paroi. By the way, I was thinking this morning, maybe when the Jews are about to leave Egypt, the sea does not want to split. They say, Moshe, how could you do this to your dad? After everything that he did to you, he groomed you, he raised you, he supported you, and now you're going to take out his whole economy and his whole workforce and destroy his country? You can't do that. Moshe shows the sea, really? You can't do that? Check out Aroino Shel Yosef. Look at the coffin of Yosef. What he did to Yosef, that's what we're doing to him. So the sea says, you're right, I have no choice, gotta split. Another interesting thought from the Sefer Mida Keneged Mida. Amram's the Gadol Hadar. Why was he zoicha to have a Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest man who ever lived. Moshe Rabbeinu, he decrees and God follows suit. Moshe Rabbeinu decides everything. Moshe Rabbeinu basically controls the world. He paskins and God follows his psak. Why was Amram Zoicha to have a Moshe Rabbeinu? So he says, it's Mida Keneged Mida. Amram Zagadol Adar. Paroi decrees that all the Jewish boys, we throw them into the sea. So Amram, what did Amram do to his wife? He separated from his wife. Why? Because he said, what point is there in having children if Paro is just going to throw them into the sea? Now I guarantee you that Amram looked through all the tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger, and all the tshuvas Chassam Sofer, and all the tshuvas Noid Bihuda, and Avnei Miluim, and Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, and he paskened that he should be poirish from his wife. And he gave shiurim on Shabbos, that we can't, there's no point in pruvu because they're just going to kill the babies. And a little girl comes over to him and he says, Dad, you're worse than Paroi. He says, well, how? She says, Paroi only decreed on the males and you're destroying the males and the females. And what does he say to her? He says, it doesn't matter that I'm the Gadol Hadar. It doesn't matter I'm the Poisek Hadar. Kabel ho'emes mimishuhu. I'll accept your halacha, I'll accept your psak. Even though Amram was greater than Miriam, but he deferred to Miriam. So mida keneged mida, God says, Amram, you are going to, so to speak, take advice from your inferior. Therefore, you'll be zoicha to have Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was somebody where God would say, stop, don't daven anymore, because if you daven, I'm going to have to listen. Moshe Rabbeinu basically would be able to tell the Ribbono Shel Olam what to do. It was a mida keneged mida. Okay, interesting thought. You know the Sefer on Chumash, Nachshoni al HaTorah? You know, Art Scroll has five green volumes, the Nachshoni al HaTorah. So, there's a Hebrew, it's called Hagois B'Parshias HaTorah. He says, you know, Chazal say, that because Yosef says to the Sar HaMashkim, Ki im zechartani itcha, if you remember me, please remember me. I'm going to interpret your dream, but when things are good, remember me. So Chazal say, because Yosef put his trust in the Sar HaMashkim, so he had to stay in jail for another 2 years, and because he didn't have trust in God. So the Nachshoni asks, what do you mean? What did Yosef do that was wrong? We know that a person is supposed to do his shtadlus, a person is supposed to use human intervention. What was wrong with what Yosef did? He just asked the Sar HaMashkim to put in a good word for him. So he quotes Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky. He says Yosef didn't do anything wrong. He's one of the tzaddikim of Yerushalayim. But it's just plain mida keneged mida. Yosef, if you want, you can have bitachon and Hashem. If you want, you could try to do hishtadlus. But you have to know, if you're going to put your faith in the butler, then you're going to have to wait until the butler has an opportunity to mention your name. It's not a punishment, Yosef. You didn't do anything wrong. But this, you're being dealt with quid pro quo. You put your cards in the hands of the butler, no problem. The butler, the only thing is, has no reason to mention your name until 2 years from now when Paro is going to have a dream. Marv Rabbi said to me, one of the most, the clearest demonstrations of Mida Keneged Mida is found in the Gemara in Tainis on Daf Chaf Hei Amid Aleph. Tana Rabbanan. There's a story about Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar decreed 13 fasts on the Tzibur. The rain didn't fall. Excuse me, that's the first story, the second story. Rabbi Elazar began to daven. He was the Shliach Tzibur. He said 24 brachos. Aninu Hashem, aninu! Nothing happened. He cried out, he pled, he begged, he cajoled. Nothing doing. Says the Gemara, Yarad Rabbi Kiva Acharav. Rabbi Kiva followed him. Let me show you the Gemara. Va'amar, and he said, Avinu Malkeinu, Elanu Melech Ela Ata. Our father, our king, you're our only king. Avinu Malkeinu,
Asei lamancha, rachim aleinu. Bang! The skies turned black and it poured and it poured and it poured. So the rabbi started chattering about Rabbi Lazar. You know, who is this tzaddik? He davens, nothing doing in Rabbi Kiva. Just like that, he prays and all of a sudden the heavens open. A heavenly voice went out, Yatsa sabaskova amra. Loi mimnei shezeh gadol mizeh. Rabbi Akiva is not greater than Rabbi Lazar. It's not because Rabbi Akiva is greater than Rabbi Lazar. Ela shezeh ma'avir al midoysav, v'zeh einoy ma'avir al midoysav. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lazar, they're equal. They're exactly the same. Rabbi Akiva is no better than Rabbi Lazar. It's just Rabbi Akiva is ma'avir on his midoys, and Rabbi Lazar is not ma'avir on his midoys. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, quoted in the Ar Yisrael of Rav Itzla Paterberg, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter asks, the Gemara is a stira meneu bei. How could the Gemara in one breath say, no, Rabbi Kiva is not greater than Rabbi Lazar? Oh, so why was Rabbi Kiva answered? Rabbi Kiva was answered because he's mavra on his midos. Well, if Rabbi Kiva is mavra on his midos, and Rabbi Kiva always overlooks his insult, and Rabbi Kiva is about midos toivos, and Rabbi Lazar is not, then Rabbi Kiva is greater than Rabbi Lazar. I mean, how could the Gemara say in one statement, oh, it's not that Rabbi Kiva is greater than Rabbi Lazar, it's that Rabbi Kiva is mavra on his midos. If Rabbi Kiva is mavra on his midos, he's greater than Rabbi Lazar. Well, the Ar Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, says that we all know that in the stories of Masechta Shabbos, and Daf Lamed, about Hillel and Shammai, where the Gemara says, "La'olam yehi Adam an v'son kehillel va'al yehi kapdan keShammai." We tend to think of it that, okay, Hillel was a nice guy. Hillel always acceded to everyone's request. Hillel always bent over backwards, and Shammai was, you know, he's a tough man. Shammai was not a softy. He did not display such flexibility to those who dealt with him. We always tend to think of it as a matter of personality, but says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Chas v'shalom, this was a halachic machloikis like any other halachic machloikis. Namely, it could be Shammai was even maybe nicer than Hillel. After all, in Pirkei Avos, Shammai is the one who says, Heve mekabel es kol ha'adam besimcha, receive every person with joy. So it's very likely that this was not a matter of personality, but this was a matter of halacha. Hillel paskind that even when people come with ridiculous questions and ridiculous requests and stipulations, slide with them, flow with them, be an anvasan ki Hillel. That was the psak of Hillel. And Shammai said, this is wrong. Shammai says, this is incorrect. Imagine somebody comes and he says, Rabbi, I'm going to come to your shir provided that I eat pig while you're teaching me. Say, get out of here. That's a bezayan hatayra. How dare you do that? Rabbi, you teach me Torah, and I'm going to throw paper airplanes at you while you do it. No, you can't. I can't teach you that way. If you don't have a certain respect, Beis Shammai says, get lost. If you don't have kavod hatayra, then you don't appreciate what you're learning. Beis Shammai paskin, as a matter of halachic basis, that you cannot teach Torah to deviants or to people who don't have basic respect for the content that's being taught. And Hillel said, no, so you have to be a little bit flexible. This is a halachic machlekes to which the Gemara paskins. We paskin like Hillel, la'olam yehi Adam, anvasan ki Hillel. Now, Rabbi Eliezer was a Shemusi, which means he was a student of Shammai. Rabbi Akiva followed the halacha and the approach of Hillel. When Rabbi Eliezer followed the psak of Shammai to uphold Kavadat Torah and not to be flexible when people want to learn the Torah standing on one foot, Rabbi Eliezer was rewarded for following the psak of his Rebbe. And when Rabbi Akiva paskin like Hillel, and he was flexible and tolerant, Rabbi Akiva was rewarded for paskin like his Rebbe Hillel. And Rabbi Akiva was not greater than Rebbe Lezer. Each one followed their shita and their approach and their Rebbe and their derech, and each one is shakol in the eyes of Hashem. But there's a famine, and the Jewish people don't deserve rain. And we have two tzaddikim, Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Lezer, and they are both perfectly equal. Maybe even Rebbe Lezer was greater. And they're davening for rain. The only thing is the Jewish people don't deserve it. And the only way the Ribbono Shel Olam could bring the rain is if the Ribbono Shel Olam is maver on his midos. So the question is, to whom will God be maver on his midos? God will be maver on his midos for Rebbe Akiva, because Rebbe Akiva was maver on his midos. But not because Rebbe Akiva was greater. Rebbe Akiva is not greater than Rebbe Lezer. It's just Rebbe Akiva happened to have the special ingredient that was needed at this time, that he was maver on his midos, so the Ribbono Shel Olam will respond in kind and be maver on his midos. But not that Rebbe Akiva is greater than Rebbe Lezer. This is the yisoy, that the way, the manner with which Ribbono Shel Olam deals with a person is quid pro quo. By the way, I saw something very interesting in the Sefer Nefesh Chaim of Rav Chaim Falaji of Izmir. He wants to suggest that the din of the midah she'adam moided ba moided in lai is only to a yachid, that it's moided in lai, it's moided to him, midah k'neged midah, but not to a tzibur. And this is somewhat problematic, because we have many instances in Chazal where Mida K'neged Mida applies to Eitz Tzibur as well. By the way, most notably, with how we started this year, that the Mitzriim were punished with the Makos, Mida K'neged Mida, even though they were certainly not a Tzibur, they were a Tzibur. Then Reb Chaim Falaji says, well, maybe by Goyim there's no such thing as a tzibur. Right? Goyim, 100 Goyim are 100 Yechidim. They can't make a minion. In other words, when 10 Goyim gather together to watch football, they can't say Baruch Hu. They can't say Amen Yehishmi Rav. There's no such thing as a minion. By Goyim, Kesher Rishayim, Einam Min HaMinyan. Okay, Marav Rabbeisai, let's progress in this subject. And let's try to study and analyze. Why does Hashem deal with a person mida k'neged mida? What's the logic of that? What's the purpose of that? What's the objective of that? It says the Sefer HaIkrim of Yosef Albo v'haraya Hashem esukum zananoshim hachalkiyim amagim l'sham mida k'neged mida. Many punishments are meted out to the wicked measure for measure. Shemizeh yilokach raya sheyesh mashkiach shoyfet betzedek. From the concept of mida k'neged mida, we could take a proof that there is a overseer who judges with righteousness. So the Sefer Ikrim is saying that the purpose of mida k'neged mida is so that we recognize that there is a God who controls and knows, like the Mitzriim who judged the Jewish people with water, and they were punished with water. And this is the proof, says the Sefer Ikrim, Shashem Yizbarach, Don Es Ha'adam Kfi Masav, Mida K'neged Mida. It's to teach, this says the Sefer Ikrim in his final comments, he says, by the way, he quotes the Gemara in Saita, Bamida Shadam Moideid Ba Moidin Lai, which also indicates that Shamida Shadam Moideid Ba Moidin Lai is the same thing as Mida K'neged Mida. And he says, Vizu Raya Gedoila Al Hahashkacha Kairas Lev Katana Amana. This is a great proof to God's divine providence tearing up those of little faith. Meaning, the reason why God deals Mida K'neged Mida is so that we recognize that there is a God in this world who knows what's going on, and it is a great proof to Hashem's existence and control over the world. By the way, amazing Rabbeinu Bechaye, that Rabbeinu Bechaye in Parashas Bahaloischa is speaking about the concept of Mida K'neged Mida, that Yosef buried his brothers. and he involved himself in the Yosef buried his father, and he involved himself in the burial of his father. And he was the greatest of the brothers. And therefore, he was rewarded that who would be busy in his burial? The greatest in the generation, Moshe Rabbeinu. In the Sezer Ben Bechaye, let's see if we can read this inside. He says, Yosef Zacha Ba'atzmais Aviv. Yosef was Zoyche in the bones of his father. Ein ba'achiv gadol mimeno. There is no one in his brothers greater than him. Shenemar vayal Yosef likbaras aviv. Who is greater than Yosef? And therefore only Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in the burial of Yosef. Now, nobody was greater than Moshe, and yet Moshe involved himself in the burial of Yosef. And therefore, who buried Moshe? The Shechina. Again, this is an example of Hashkacha, of Mida Kneged Mida, says Rabin Bechayev, who Moifes, this is a clear wonder, al Hashkacha Pratis, on God's specific providence, B'schar V'Oinesh. And v'zeh minasivos hatzedek v'hamishpat, this is from the pathways of justice and righteousness, that ki elokei mishpat Hashem ashrei kol choychelai. By the way, the Marsha also says, why does God punish measure for measure? He says, so that we don't attribute that what occurs to us as mikra. Umitam sheyeda Ha'adam, shaloi b'mikra baloi ha'inash, so that a person recognizes that punishment is not coincidental. Now, Marv Rabbeisai, very interesting, in the Sefer Toras Chaim, of one of the Kadmoinim, we know that there's a concept, how much money extra should a person spend to beautify a mitzvah? In other words, let's say you could get a little bit of a nicer esrog. Up to how much more money should you spend to get a nicer esrog? Hider mitzvah ad shlish. You spend up to a third of a mitzvah to beautify the mitzvah. Why is that? He says there are two kinds of measurements. There's mida mechuka, an exact measurement. You know, you pour water in a cup and you fill it up to tippy top. But if you have, you know, salt in a cup, you could actually do a midah gedusha. You could heap it up like an ice cream cone and get a lot more than the cup holds. Now, God could also reward us with a midah mechuka, with a measurement which is exactly that fills up the cup, so to speak. You know, you could ask God, a person needs, let's say, $100,000 a year, God give me parnasa. So the Ribbono Shel Olam could give $100,000 a year. But we don't really want Hashem to give exactly what we need. We want a little bit more breathing room. That's Mida Gedusha. How much more is Mida Gedusha than Mida Mechuka? One third more. So since we want God to give us not exactly what we need, but a heaped up amount, which is a third more, therefore we do Hider Mitzvah Ad Shlish, to be able to elicit from Hashem, not Mida Mechuka, but Mida Gedusha. And here's the question. The Medrash says that of all the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one Mida with which Hashem created the world that is still existent and that is still here is the Mida Keneged Mida. That's the one Mida of Hashem that's still extant. The question is it still extant today? Do we still say today that, you know, if I had a headache, then I wasn't thinking the right things? And if my toe hurts, I did something wrong with my toe. In other words, does Mida Keneged Mida, the Medrash says it's the only remaining operation of Hashem, does that still apply today in 2020? So there's a story in the Atara Lamelech of Rapam, page Kuf Chaf, Rav Pam writes that in 1976, he visited Bethlehem in New Hampshire. And Rav Pam says he was ill. And he had a very high fever. And he said, I'm going to faint. And his wife came in and said, what should I do? She was almost in hysterics. She ran out. She chopped a lemon. She came running into Rav Pam. She says, bite the lemon. And he bit the lemon and he sucked out all the juice of the lemon. He got out every ounce of bitterness and sharpness. And literally the lemon revived him and he came back to himself. And he sort of wondered, why was he eating that lemon with such relish? And why did Hashem save him through a lemon? And then he remembered 20 years earlier, he visited a friend who was Nebuch in a nursing home, deathly ill. And he brought his friends some oranges. So he offered the friend the oranges, and the friend said, sorry, he's not in the mood, he doesn't want, he has. And there was a patient in the next bed, and later on Rav Pam discovered the name. The patient was the Admir of the Bronx. And he was paralyzed in half of his body. And Rav Pam was mechabit him with an orange. And Nebuch, this Rebbe, was not able to talk. But he took an orange and he bit into the orange with such relish and such geschmack. And he sucked out every ounce of juice of that orange. And even though this Rebbe could not say thank you, his eyes were conveying the message, thank you so much. This really meant a lot. And Rav Pam was very moved by what this lemon meant, what this orange meant to the guy. And then 20 years later, he realized that not only did Hashem pay him back measure for measure, but Hashem waited for the right time, not when he was at a picnic to eat an orange, but when his life was in danger and when he was on the brink, Hashem paid him back just at the right time. Now, Rav Pam is telling over the story. He's advertising the story. Presumably, he's saying that even today, in our generation, there is still a concept of Mida Keneged Mida. And presumably, it's not only to Big Tzaddikim, because it was only to Big Tzaddikim, a doubtful Rav Pam would advertise the story. On the other hand, I remember many years ago, I think when I was in 10th grade, I must have been 15 years old, we got a sefer called Bitachon Chai. Where in the sefer Bitachon Chai, he brings that when Hashem punishes a person, this is in number 30, Hashem punishes a person, mida keneged mida, to be able to know what sin a person did in order to do tshuva. In other words, mida keneged mida is a chesed. This way, if my head hurts, I know that I have to do tshuva with my head, otherwise I have no idea what I need to correct. So Hashem b'chastai, He doesn't want to just punish to hurt. He wants it to be instructive. So He punishes mida keneged mida so that we know how to repent. However, says the Sefer Bitachon Chai, I heard that in general, this is only for tzaddikim who have very few sins. So let's say they have three sins. They sinned with their knee, with their toe, and their head. So if their head hurts, they know what the sin is. But us, that we have so many sins, lots of luck trying to figure out what the cause and what the reason for a punishment is. And then I saw in Rav Aaron Yeshua Pesin's Sefer Mida Keneged Mida, he says that in Chodesh Shvat in 2007, I told Rav Chaim Kanievsky about the Sefer Mida Keneged Mida Chelek Aleph that I'm about to print. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky looks at all the various statements of Chazal. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky wrote the following: Loi Hakol anachnu mevinim. We don't understand everything. Don't think, oh, now that I went to the shir, and now that I know this concept, now I understand everything. Oh, you know why Trump became the president? Because his father once gave money to a shul in the Bronx. And you know why Trump lost the presidency? Because X, Y, and Z. And you know why Pence became the president? Because 7 years ago he did this thing. Don't think that now that you know the concept, the Midah Keneged Midah, you're going to be able to be the next prophet in Israel, and you could explain all world events and everything that happens to you. No, we don't understand everything. Why do you think Reb Chaim Knievsky is writing this in the introduction to the Sefer Midah Keneged Midah? Reb Chaim continues, Yesh Dvarim Shehem Al Pi Soydeis HaTorah. There are things that can only be understood through the secrets of the Torah. Meaning, Reb Chaim is saying, yes, there's a concept of Midah Keneged Midah. And maybe in this world, there will be times that clearly we see that there is Midah Keneged Midah in this world. However, we will not understand everything. There is no way to start opening up a newspaper and writing a perush on it every day. From now on, I'm going to explain all the news. Midah Keneged Midah. Not everything could be explained. Not everything could we wrap our mind around. But one thing is for sure. There will be instances in our life when we are given sort of an opening and a Pesach to be able to see Hashem clearly. As the Sefer HaIkrim writes, that the concept of Midah Keneged Midah rips up the notion of the Mekatnei Amunah. There will be times in our life where we could say, you know what? If we're facing a challenge or a choyli chas v'shalom, we can't say for certain why, but it's certainly worthwhile to at least try to ask ourselves, what is the Ribbono Shel Olam telling me? It can't hurt. Worst comes to worst, you'll improve something that needs to be improved. We can never know for certain. Now let's just, I want to conclude with two short things. The Ramban writes in Parsha Shemais, what was Moshe Rabbeinu asking the Ribbono Shel Olam when he said, what's your name? And what was God's response? Ekya Asher Ekya, says the Ramban, an amazing thing. Look at number 32. Va'oid Amar, ki yoytzu b'zeh b'medrash Haggadah, u'mahu ekya Asher Ekya. Kishem, says Ribbono Shel Olam, you know what does it mean? You know what it means? I will be that I will be. That the way you act with me, I act with you. If you open your hand and you give tzedakah, I will open my hand and give tzedakah. Like it says, Yiftach Hashem lecha, saytzara yatoiv. And if you don't open your hand, then I won't open my hand. You know what Ekya Asher Ekya means? Ekya Asher Ekya means God is telling Moshe, you know what my name is? My name is Midah Keneged Midah. The way you deal with me, I will deal with you. What do we see from here? That Midah Keneged Midah is not a way with which God operates. It's not something Hashem does. It's His essence. It's His very name. It's definitional to God. And I would like to suggest that this was critical in Moshe Rabbeinu being able to tell the Jewish people this Midah of God before He takes them out of Egypt. Because Moshe is going to come to the Jewish people. He's going to say, God's going to whack the Mitzrim with frogs and with blood and with lice. And the Jews are going to say, yeah, right. Why would God do that? So Moshe Rabbeinu needs to be able to explain because God deals with a person. Midah Keneged Midah. Measure for measure. And to give the Jewish people an insight into the upcoming barrage and assault on the Egyptians, they need to understand that this is certainly within the job description and something Ribbono Shel Olam would do because this is definitional to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ekya Asher Ekya, Midah Keneged Midah is the introduction to the Makos. And in fact, Rabbi Yerucham in the Das Torah explains that why is it of all the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the one Midah that is still operational. Again, it doesn't mean always. It doesn't mean we'll always understand and see it. But it's still operational. Why dafka this Midah? Because this Midah is definitional to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same way a shadow does not coincidentally move at the same rate as your hand, but it's by definition. When something is blocking the light, the shadow will move commensurate with it. God's operation and mechanism of Mida Kenegan Mida is not coincidental, does not just happen to be, but the way God created man in the image of Hashem, part of that creation of man being in the image of Hashem is that God, so to speak, will mirror the way we behave. God will act as our shadow. That is definitional to the creation of man. That since we're created in Hashem's image, the way we behave, the way we accord ourselves, the way we act, is how Hashem responds in kind. Therefore, even if other methods of Hashem's operation no longer are extant, Mida Kenegan Mida is not a way with which God accords Himself. It's definitional to His essence and the way with which He created man. So, when we read these parshiyos of the Makos, recognize that this is a clear demonstration of this modus operandi of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it is a modus operandi which continues until today. As we said, we can never be certain exactly how the Ribbono Shel Olam is displaying it, but one thing we can say for certain is that which the Medrash tells us, Bereishis Rabba, Parashatess Ois Aleph, Amar Rab Simoin, B'Shem Rab Shimoin Bar Abba, Kol HaMidois Batlu, Mida Kneged Mida, Loi Batla. And Ribbono Shel Olam should give us Siyata Deshmaya to allow us to accord ourselves L'Toiva, Ula Chesed, Ula Mitzvahis, and thereby Ribbono Shel Olam will deal with us in kind. Mida Kneged Mida, Ribbono Shel Olam should be Mashpia on all of us. Shefa, Bracha, V'Hatzlacha. Wishing everyone a great day. Shkayach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.